Welcome to the Rock Church of Coastal Hills. We now join the service in progress.
Let me first introduce myself. For those of you that are new, Pastor Steve, I'm the associate pastor here. Most of the time I spend my time locked up back in the dungeon with the youth. No, I'm just kidding. Now we have a great time back there. But, you know, and just have other duties here. But I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, welcome. Thank you for being here today. This message that I have, though, is like I said, we're going to sidestep the series that we've been in, and we're going to talk about something that's really important to my heart, and we're going to talk about healing today for the wounded. And for some of you, you may have heard some of these principles taught, but listen, you can never hear anything enough when it comes to the things of God, because it's so multifaceted. The Word of God, as they said, is like a diamond. I don't know if you know this, but what makes a diamond pop is the fact that some of them have even up to 58 cuts on it. And have you ever read the Word? Have you ever heard something or a concept and you grasp it only to have it mean something completely different maybe a few weeks later? Have you guys ever done that? Where the Word, it's like it goes forth and you're like, right now, it's like, oh my gosh, it means this. But then later on in life, it's like, wow, God shows you a different facet of His Word. Well, today, I know that He's going to do the same for you and for I. How many of you have ever been sunburned? Anybody been sunburned in this place? How many of you have been sunburned on those shoulders? Doesn't it feel good? Oh, hey, Granddad. Okay, well, I assume that you're pointing to the spot, and that makes sense. But you know, it's really uncomfortable, and it's very painful. You know, when I was a teenager, I think I was about 14. I was about 15 years old, actually. And we went on a summer vacation. We're out there at Lake Mead, super hot. I think it was about 110 degrees, and we're out there on jet skis and stuff and flying around. And I thought I was so tough. I was like, my mom kept saying, Steve, put that sunscreen on. I don't need it. You know, I'm cool, you know. And I'm in that nice, refreshing water all day. Well, the next thing you know, we're back at the campsite, and I'm just on fire. And what ends up happening is I got burned so bad that in the days that were to come, I ended up with blisters all over my shoulders. Have you guys ever had a burn like that where it's just starts to blister? It was so painful. But here's what happened. As we come back from vacation, and it was the first week of full contact in football. I think some of you know where I'm going with this. So that first day, I didn't want to say anything to anybody because I didn't want to lose my starting position. So I was gonna tough it out, suck it up, and I was kind of like, oh, I don't know how this is gonna go. And I remember putting those shoulder pads on, and it hurt. And I strapped them up, and I put my jersey over it, and I put my helmet on, and did everything that everybody else did. And here was the thing: is that the first contact, all those blisters started to break open and tear off. And that practice was excruciating when that happened. And here's the thing, is that whole season, most of the season, I never said anything to anybody. But I remember one coach calling me out and said, Steve, there's something different about you this year. For all the other years, the other 2 years that you've played for me, you've been tenacious. You didn't hesitate. You just flew in there and made hits. You hit people. You tackled them. There was no hesitation at all. But that year was probably my worst year statistically. It was my worst year. It was my worst experience ever in playing football. Why? Because I was wounded below the surface. I was wounded below the armor. And see, and for many Christians, it's the same thing, is that we put on the armor of God and we quote the scriptures and we live. But the thing is that many of us, you're wounded. You know, I've been in a place where I'm wounded below the armor. And many times we think that nobody knows if we can just polish it up and shine it up and make it look like, oh man, you know, we're all put together. But deep down inside below, we've been betrayed, we've been abandoned, we've been hurt, we've been misused, mistreated, abused. And so there's these deep woundings that are underneath. You know, and we could talk about pain, you know why? Because life beats you up, kind of like football, right? How many of you guys go through some stuff? Yeah? Let's be honest in this place. Come on. How many of you have gone through some stuff, right? We've all gone through some stuff. Life will beat you up. Life is rough. It's like a physical game. But listen, I haven't come here today to preach a message on the pains of life. Woe is me. You know, nobody knows my story. Listen, I've come here to declare good news. And the good news today is that God is a God that heals the wounded. Amen? Let me say that again. God is a God that heals the wounded. You do not have to live a life anymore where you are wounded below the surface. Your armor is on, but underneath, you're in pain. And see, and this is the problem. This is where I went wrong as a teenager, where I didn't use wisdom. Because see, I didn't want to be rejected. I didn't want to be looked at as the one who was a failure. I didn't want to be looked at as one who was weak. So I just strapped on the armor and I didn't take time to heal. See, had I taken a week off, 2 weeks off, and let the blisters heal, a season would have been a success. But instead, I kept trudging through and trying, and I would heal a little bit, and then the scabs would get torn off, and I would heal, and then the scabs would get torn off. And I was in this constant place of pain. And because I didn't take the time to heal, what ended up happening is my purpose and my pain came in conflict. My purpose and my pain were at odds. And the same thing applies to you and I spiritually. I've seen countless people live the Christian life, and they're trying so hard, but they haven't taken the time to allow God to heal them, do a deep healing on the inside. And what happens is they have a purpose, but their pain comes in conflict because they run around. And I don't know if this is you. I don't know if you know somebody like this. But it's like they have a sunburn constantly. You're just trying to show love to them. And they're like, ah! You know, they're freaking out. And you're like, why? What? Whoa, I didn't do anything. It's because their pain is screaming louder than their purpose. And we're in that same place. We need to be in a place where we take the time to allow God to heal us. Amen? I want to share something with you. If you would, open your Bibles to Psalm 147, and we're going to go to verses 2 and 3. Psalm 147, verses 2 and 3. That's why I'm saying I've come to bear good news here, guys, today. We're not going to talk about the pain and the suffering and all. You know, listen, we all understand that. We know it. We're living it, right? Or we have lived it at times. So we don't need anybody to explain that. I think we're good at that part. But we need to understand what God says in his word about this. So listen, in Psalm 147:2, gosh, man, you got to get this inside you. It says, the Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Is that not good news, guys? That is good news that God himself, it says that God is, that there's hope for the wounded. Basically, I mean, that's what it is, guys. The hope is there, that there's faith that something can change. I don't know. I mean, I've been in places where I'm so desperate, and I just feel like, God, you know, rescue me. But the word tells us that there is hope, that God wants to heal, guys, that he gathers up also the outcasts. For many, that is the greatest source of wounds, is being rejected by people. And to know that God, he gathers us up. And he doesn't forget you. He doesn't forget me. He sees us all, and he's willing to gather us up. The other thing is this, guys, is that he's capable and willing and ready to mend our brokenness. So important that we get this, guys, that he gathers outcasts. He heals the brokenhearted. He binds up their wounds. Oh, my gosh, man, what good news. But can I give you even more good news? Can you ever get enough good news? I don't know. I want you to know something. As we get into this message today, we're going to talk about what it really means. What it really means to allow ourselves to take time to heal. I'm going to give you that. But before we even go there, what we need to understand is, as I just pointed out, was the simple fact that many times we're wounded below the surface, and that God is our only way out. And I want you to know this, that sometimes when we talk about these issues, about healings, inner healing, in churches, it's kind of a dangerous spot. And the reason that it's a dangerous spot is because we can lean towards the slant of self-help. Okay, we can lean towards the you know, 21 steps to success, you know, all these books. We can lean kind of like in the area of psychology, and we can even kind of lean into the areas of this new age teaching. You know, if you just believe good enough, then, you know, good things are going to come your way. But I want you to know that aside from a relationship with Jesus Christ, there is real no permanent healing to be had. And I want you to know that because of Jesus' death and his resurrection, and his death and his resurrection only is the reason that you and I can experience the healing that we need. And I want you to see in John chapter 14, verse 17, that he made a promise to us. Can I get that verse up? Because you've got to get this. This has to be the foundation of where we stand before we even go to the next step. Do we have that verse? Okay, well, I've got it. If you have your Bibles, hey, that's why we bring a Bible to church, right? John chapter 14, verse 17. I always play the game with the youth. Do you guys know where John is, Old Testament or New Testament? All right, you guys get a gold sticker. John chapter 14, verse 17. And this is Jesus speaking. So he's talking to his disciples and he tells them this. He says, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." I want you to understand something, that your healing is exclusive, and the power that's on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit, is exclusive to you. Why? Because you know him. Because you're a Christian. And that's why I'm saying that I've seen that in the world. There's a copycat type of healing where it's all words, it's talk, but listen, I have seen the power of God, and I am convinced that he is the only one that can truly fulfill and satisfy and heal those deep hurts that are on the inside. We have to stand on that. Okay, so I want you to understand that as we go into these next spots, I'm not teaching some new age guru goofball stuff up here, okay? We're talking about what the Word of God has to say. And Jesus is the key that unlocks your healing, and only him. Okay? It's not your accountability calls. It's not you showing up. It's him and only him. And we have to stand there. We good? Well, you know what? If you believe that, I think we need to give Jesus a hand here. We need to give him a praise, because you know what? What he did was something amazing. It's not something to be taken lightly in this place. It really isn't. So here we go. I'm going to give you three simple points. Hey, I'm a youth preacher, man. I got to keep it short today. And I always say that, and then I go long. So anyways, I guess I fall into the regular pastor area. But here we go. What does taking time to heal look like? Number one is that you have to recognize the symptoms. Just as a physical illness has symptoms, so does a spiritual illness, a deep wounding on the inside. There are symptoms to it. And simply ignoring them, it doesn't make them go away. Okay, putting our head in the sand, it doesn't make them go away. Oh, I'll just, I'll ignore the fact that, my anger is out of control. I'll ignore the fact that I feel like everybody's rejecting me constantly. No, there are symptoms to this, and we need to recognize them. And you know what is amazing about that? As I was studying this, the Lord was just showing me, the people that are able to see the symptoms, it's because they're humble. The humble are the ones who will be blessed. The humble are the ones who will know. And I see King David in Psalm 26:2. He says this, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my mind and my heart." Goes on to say in Psalm 139:23-24, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." It takes a lot of humility, guys, to stand before God, especially as you so-called climb the ranks of Christianity. I hate that. I really do. I've been in church 35 years, so I've worked it all out. When, you know what, you can be a mess at 35 years in. You can be a mess at 35 minutes into the kingdom. 35 seconds, it doesn't matter. But there has to be something on the inside of us that we come before God and say, "God, I've served you a long time. I know your word. I know that it's true. I love you. But is there anything on the inside of me? Is there any place? Can you please show me, God? Is there any place that is contrary to your word? God, is there anything that I'm doing? Am I operating out of a wounding? Am I hurting people because I'm hurt?" And I see that when we humble ourselves in his presence and we ask him, he's faithful to show us. And that's the first step, that if we ignore it, guys, if we are people who are not humble and able and ready to recognize, We'll live wounded below the surface. We'll put on our shoulder pads. We'll look like a player. We'll look like everybody else standing in line. But inside, there's going to be something where your pain and your purpose are coming in conflict with each other. Can I give you a couple things? A couple little diagnostics that maybe you can check yourself out? You guys good with that? I have a habit of sometimes getting like so real. And I don't, it makes people feel uncomfortable, and I don't want that to happen. But I want the truth to always go forward. So here's a couple things. I want you just to examine yourself. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And when these words come out, just say, is that me? And resist the thing of saying, nah, I'm not that. But really ask God right now. I'm gonna give you about six things. I'm just going to rattle them off. I'm not even going to talk about them. I'm just going to give you the words. Here's some of the symptoms of the person who's wounded below the surface. Jealousy. Defensiveness. Suspicious. Argumentative. Fearful. Controlling. Negative outlook. And denial. And of course, there's a long list. We can list many other things that are proof or symptoms of a wounding. But those are some of the things that popped up as I'm seeing. And when we operate under those things, guys, it's damaging. It's damaging. Because when God has called us to go and to love people, but we're suspicious of them, or God has called to pray for somebody and they get breakthrough and we're jealous because they got a breakthrough and we didn't, or there's negative thoughts, we're always seeing the glass half empty instead of half full. When God, because of what he's done, because of Jesus' sacrifice, we can have hope. And so those are the signs, some of the signs of wounding. So number one is that what does it mean to take time to get healed? It means, one, is that you have to recognize the symptoms. Number two, you guys ready for number two? Man, we are doing so good on time. We're going to beat the other churches to lunch today. Nah, just kidding. I don't know if that'll happen, but... But number two is this, and this one is so hard, I probably shouldn't even tell you. Do you guys want to know? Yeah, you guys are gluttons for punishment in this church. Okay. Number two is this, is that you have to be transparent. You have to be transparent. And this is so difficult for people. I mean, it was difficult for me. Like when it comes to being transparent and sharing and being open about the things that you're struggling with, I used to, like, my heart would start to race like somebody was telling me to jump off a huge cliff. Have you ever been there? Like, I mean, my gosh, it's like I can confess to God, you know, because it's just between me and him. But actually speaking out and saying, you know, man, I'm struggling with this, or wow, you know, I'm jealous, or well, you know, this happens. Man, just like your heart rate really goes up and you start to sweat. You know, you get the sweat on the top of your lip and your heart starts to beat. You know, I kind of call that like when it's time to confess. Instead of having a heart attack, it was like I was having a pride attack. You know, it was like affecting my flesh. I'm like, no, I don't want to do it. You know, I'm like going into convulsions. But here's the thing, is that it's so important to be transparent. Why? Because the Bible says so. Can I give you two verses? Number one is in James chapter 5, verse 16. Very familiar verse, but very powerful. It says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Oh my goodness. Wow, he just gave us the roadmap right there. Let's read that again. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. This says, the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. But listen to Proverbs 28:13. I think we have that one. Check this out. Well, let me read it from up here. It says, he who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. It's really powerful. You know, from our experience, we've ministered restoration since 2003. So, I mean, my goodness, the time is flying. We're in our 13th year, I think, in March will be 13 years. Here's the thing that I have seen, is that being transparent with people is the hardest thing to do when we're wounded. Okay? Because like us men, none of us men, we don't like going to the doctors. How many of you men like going to the doctor? Yeah, I knew you would respond that way, because that's how I'd respond. I'd sit there, you know. Because, and especially if it's an area that you're kind of embarrassed about, like kind of, you know what I mean? That's how it is, you know, you go to the doctor and you're kind of like, oh, you know. But just think about that. If you went to a doctor and he was saying, hey, I need you to confess what's going on so we can figure out how to treat you. And wouldn't it be insane if we went to the doctor and you knew, you know, you came kind of limping in, you're like, oh, you know, and your back's hurting. And then the doctor goes, I can see that your back's hurting. You know, we can treat that. And you go, no, it's not my back. Wouldn't that be weird? You're sitting there like, wait, no, we can see it's your back is hurting. No, it's not my back. I just have a little bit of a headache. You got anything for that? It's just a little headache. It's not a big deal. And then you're like, oh, okay, well, he treats your headache, and then you walk out like this. It makes no sense. And that's how a lot of people are with their issues. That's how I was with my issues, is it was so embarrassing. It was so shameful, the things that I had done, the things that were done to me, the things that I was involved in, the things that I was thinking about, that people would call me out and say, Steve, you know, you're a little prideful, man. You got a little Napoleon complex going on there. What? No. I'm not prideful, how dare you? You know, and I would act prideful with them, you know. It was like, it was so obvious to everybody around. But it's very important that we learn to be transparent, because that's where the healing happens. You know, and I found that out through a really interesting lesson. I remember I went through a restoration program 13 years ago, and I remember sitting in this group, and I didn't know what to expect. And they started asking some really tough questions like, do you tell the truth all the time? Are you a truth teller? And I knew I wasn't. I knew I was like a shyster, man. I was like anything to self-preserve my reputation. And I was like going, Jesus, like, please come back right now. You know, like, you know, I was looking towards the east expecting a trumpet to blow. You know, I was hoping, because my pride was so strong. It was so strong because I was so wounded inside. And I remember, I'll never forget this gentleman sitting next to me. And they asked him the question, and everybody's quiet because nobody wanted to go first. And I'll never forget that this man, he raises his hand and he said, you know what? He goes, I'm a liar, man. And he just starts to weep. He says, I'm a liar. He goes, I'm like, I lie so much that I don't even know when I'm telling the truth anymore. And he began to just spill out his heart right there and confess that he was living a lie at home. He was living a lie at work. He was living a lie at church. And God began to heal him as he was confessing right there, and he was letting it go. And something rose up inside me that day and said, you know what? If that man can do that, I can do it as well. And I began to share some things, you know, and I was answering the questions truthfully for the first time ever. Because I grew up in a religious system where if I was truthful, then I would be looked down upon, that I wasn't spiritual enough. I wasn't worth being part of that body. I had to be perfect. So you had all these messed up people, all these super wounded people hurting each other, cheating on their wives, kids going awry. All this stuff was messed up, but everybody looked perfect, and we wore the perfect clothes and had the nice haircut and everything, you know, for church that day. Drove up in our car, you know, and trying to present something that was not truthful. And that day, sitting in that group, when I learned what it was to be honest, my friendship with that man was like a bond. And we're still close friends to this day because of that. And so I just want to encourage you that that's the road. It's a hard road. But it's what you have to do when you're taking time to heal. Number one, taking time to heal is you got to recognize the symptoms. Two is that you have to be transparent. Are you guys ready for a third one? Man, we are doing so good. I think if the other churches knew that we were getting this close, they would probably start speeding up their message. But we're doing good. Number three, it actually gets harder. Are you guys ready for something harder? More punishment? Or is anybody, are we going to quit right here? Yeah, we're done. We're checking out. She's like, man, transparency, it's over. That's a step. I'm going to give it to you anyways. Number three, I was going to have Aubrey sing a worship song this morning on this, but I decided to change my mind. But number three is this, that you have to let it go. So I was going to have her come up and sing Let It Go, but I'm going to do it instead because I think I sing better. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, line in the pulpit, man, line in the pulpit. But we have to let it go, and this is really the toughest part of it, and this is a process. Let it go. And basically what I'm talking about is about forgiveness. If you would, turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. And we're going to go to verses 21 and 22. And we're going to talk about Peter here, because Peter, he thought he was awesome. All you had to do was ask him. He would have told you. So here Peter is, you know, like I said, Peter was a great man. But like I said, he was notorious for putting the leather in the mouth. And it's really interesting. He comes to Jesus and he thinks that Jesus is going to be so proud with this statement. You know, he thinks he's going to blow Jesus out of the water, and Jesus is going to start to weep and like, Peter, you finally got it. Okay, and so he tells him this. It says, then Peter came to him, speaking of him, capital H is Jesus, and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? And listen to this, man. He is just stoked because he thinks he's delivering the news of all news. He says, up to seven times? I mean, I could just imagine Peter like looking at Jesus like, up to seven times? Like he's like really selling this thing to him. And Jesus dashes all hope by putting him in place, and he says this. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Man, like he just blew him out of the water. Like, dude, really? Like, you're going to come to me with that? And here was the thing, and I want you to write this down, that forgiveness is not an event, it's a lifestyle. See, that's the difference. See, Peter was trying to make it an event right there. God, up to seven times? But Jesus said, no, you're going to make it a lifestyle. We're going to go 70 times seven. Man, we're going to up the ante here. It's going to become a lifestyle. It's going to be, you're going to forgive so much that it's just going to become part of you. And this is what I see as one of the greatest hindrances, as Pastor Dave's been talking about their promise to possession, is that I see a lot of people, they never fulfill the promises that God have, that he has for them, because they peter out because they get offended. They get hurt with people. Things are said, ugly things are done, and those wounds, it's like they refuse to let them go, and those wounds fester. Because of unforgiveness. We recently in a situation, and I can't share all the details and definitely won't share names, but we were in a situation where someone in a function said something to another person, and it was very simple. It was very, very simple. It wasn't anything difficult. It was kind of like, hey, we're so-and-so. And this person lashed out on the other person and said some extremely degrading things to them. It was shocking. It'd be like somebody going, hey, you know, the sky's blue. And somebody turned around and said, you are the worst person I've ever met. And, you know, just totally cut them off. And it's like, whoa, like, where'd that come from? Where do you think it came from? They were wounded below the surface. And consequently, those two people have not spoken for months because of that offense. And to me, on the outside looking in, it is ludicrous to see what happened. It seemed like something that was very little. But over time, we were able to understand both sides. And both of those people were extremely wounded. That day was one of the worst days for both of them. They had encountered some family issues and some other things. And when they came together because they hadn't forgiven, both of them were holding bitterness in their heart. And when they came, it was like just a car crash, a violent crash. Because they had learned to live with bitterness and unforgiveness. And even at this point, that relationship has not been mended. And it's sad. It's sad that two can walk away thinking that they're right because of their pain, because of their unforgiveness and their bitterness, driving a wedge right in the middle. And so what God is showing us, guys, is that it's so important to let it go. I've shared this story with some of you guys before, and but it's a story that's worth repeating. So there was this man, he owned this like really awesome resort. Have you guys ever been to like one of those really cool resorts, kind of either Philippines or somewhere where the water's blue and this white sandy beaches and stuff? Well, this guy had this amazing resort that everybody wanted to go to. So the next thing you know, he's filling the place out. I mean, it's a popular place. But he ends up with this problem. And you know what his problem is? He's got a monkey problem. You guys are like, what a monkey problem? I can see some of you guys smirking at me. A monkey problem. Well, you know, monkeys are rascals, so they like to steal people's food. They throw poop. You know, they're crazy like creatures, you know? And they can be really mean and rough with people. So the monkeys were messing up his customers. You know, they're sitting down there eating lunch, having this nice lunch at a nice resort. This monkey jumps off the tree, snatches their stuff, and runs away, you know, before they can even do anything about it. And so he tries to figure out a problem, or I mean, tries to figure out a solution on how to get rid of these monkeys. How can he get them off of his property? He didn't want to kill the monkeys. He didn't want to shoot the monkeys. You know, he loved the monkeys, okay? This guy was nice, you know, very monkey-friendly resort. But anyway, so he comes with a plan based on one of the islanders. And the islander says this. He goes, well, I know how to catch the monkey. And he goes, well, how? He goes, you take two coconuts. He goes, hollow the coconut out. But he said, but make a small hole just big enough for the monkey to get his hand in there. And he goes, and fill it with rice. And being the little greedy suckers that they are, they stick their hand in there. So the monkeys, what they started doing is they started catching them easily, because the monkey would put his hand in there and he would grab the rice, and he was so selfish, he didn't want to let it go. So then he would run to climb a tree. Well, he can't climb a tree with two coconuts on his hands. And they would just grab him and, you know, hey, caught you, and move him to wherever they wanted. But you know what? That's a great illustration, though, for our lives, guys. When we're not willing to let the things that have happened to you go, you're an easy target for the enemy. You really are. I'm fighting him in Jesus' name. I'm fighting him. And it's like, man, the devil's like, really, dude? You got coconuts in your hand. Get over here. And he's just controlling us. He keeps us captive. He moves us where he wants us to be positioned, instead of us living out the purpose that God has designed for you and I. So what I say to you today is, listen, you got to let it go. You got to let it go. And I know that's a hard word for some of you, because you've been hurt so deeply. Some of you guys, the things that have happened to you are unspeakable. But as I said at the beginning of this message, because of Jesus, because of his death and resurrection, there is nothing, there is no wound too great for Jesus to heal. There is no betrayal terrible enough for Jesus to heal. There's no traumatic event that has happened to you or that you've witnessed that Jesus can't heal your mind and heal your heart. There's nothing too great. So there's a road that you and I need to walk. If we are going to be healed, if from this point forward, if we're going to say, you know what, God, I've been wounded under the armor, and I'm tired. My day, it's just, that's up, moving on. You're going to have to get to a place to where you can be humble before the Lord and say, God, search me, examine me, know me. Is there any wicked way in me, God? What are the symptoms? Am I jealous? Am I defensive? Am I prideful? Am I fearful? You ask him. He'll show you. And if he doesn't show you, just ask your neighbor, because most of them, they know. Yeah. I always tell guys, hey, man, they're like, Pastor, I don't know if I got issues. I'll say, hey, let me talk to your wife. She'll tell me. No, just kidding. But you know that was true, actually. Or talk to their kids. But the second thing is, you guys remember what the second thing was? I'd be transparent, right? What was the third thing? We got to let it go. So at the risk of sounding like a salesman, I want you to know that in this church, we don't just preach this message and then say, okay, you know, good, let's go eat now and let these things roll around. I want you to know that we have provided a program for you to walk these steps out, a place where you can go and realize the symptoms, see them for what they are. We've provided a place where you can go and be transparent with your other brothers and sisters. And we've provided a place where you can actually walk through the process of forgiving people and letting it go for good, to where you don't feel the need to keep picking it back up. So, anyways, did God speak to you today? Praise God, praise God. Well, let's give him a hand.